So just a couple of really quick housekeeping notes before we get into the presentation tonight. What you have in front of you is pretty much everything you'll see on the screen. So if you can't see the screen well or whatnot, you do have, if you have a handout, you have everything we'll talk about right there in front of you. So kind of keep that in mind. The second thing, which is just kind of a small thing, but there will be some sheets kind of passing around through the crowd. They're going to start some in the front and some in the back. One of the things we do at ACCFS is we send out an email update once a month or so, just highlighting a few things that are going on at the service and a few resources which we think might be a benefit to the church family. And so if you would like to receive those, please sign your name and your email on that. It's not a huge thing, but it's an opportunity to be aware of what's going on at the counseling service and some of the resources we have available. So those will be passing around, and just keep passing them up and down the rows if you would. Tonight we're going to talk about technology. And I feel like I need to lay out a few provisos as we get into this. And the first thing I want to talk about is something that is of great comfort. We start with Scripture. And if you look at some of the Scripture that we have up here, and we think about some of the Scriptures that we'll talk about tonight, they were written thousands of years ago, long before we'd ever heard the word Facebook, or long before we'd ever heard the word internet, or computer, or cell phone, so on and so forth. And yet the timelessness of the word is so profound, and it's so comforting to rest upon that, because the principles that we find within it, which gave instruction and guidance to the early Christians and to those who went before, are the same instructions and guidance which can give us direction in this area and in this new challenge that we face in this day and age. So we will reference several scriptures. There's a few guiding ones that we have up here. 1 Corinthians 6, where it talks about not being brought under the power of anything. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. It's a powerful principle. And we'll talk about how that applies to the area of technology. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth or off your fingers of the keyboard. The principle stays the same. Let no corrupt communication. Ephesians 5:15 and 16. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the day, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Or 1 Thessalonians 5. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Scriptural principles which give us guidance and direction in this area of technology. And scriptural principles which we hopefully will continue to keep making reference to these verses and others similar to them. The second thing I want to encourage you to realize and think about is I want you to have, and we've heard this often when we have talks of any nature, but I want us to have the blinders on today, and I want this to be a personal type a talk. I want each of you to think about how this applies to you at a personal level. Because the tendency can be is that we start thinking about the neighbor down the row or the other person over here or that person over there, and we hope that they're listening. And I want us to come back here and say, okay, what is the scripture and the word speaking to me about today? How do I need to apply this to my life? And the challenging thing about a technology talk is there are some of you here tonight who most of what I talk about will be in a foreign language. And that's completely fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there'll be some of you here who will say, yeah, I knew all that. And are way past even, you know, my knowledge of technology, which is not vast. There's such a wide spectrum of usership of technology. But I would challenge us to realize that probably all of us, in some way, shape, or form, there's an application point here. There's a take-home point here. There is some place where technology affects and influences our lives, some at a greater level than others, but there still will be something that when we prayerfully and personally take this into our heart, there'll be places where we can be challenged by the Scripture. and challenged by the principles we'll talk about. So keep that kind of personal. And the last thing I will warn you is that Brother Matt and I will share a lot of information tonight, and we'll probably do it fairly quickly. That's part of the reason why we give you a handout. And I also hopefully will reference several other resources, and I'll reference our website where we have other resources even beyond that available. So realize that we'll go fairly quickly, but there's a lot of help and resources available to digest at different times. When we think about technology, I think the old thinking could be that we think about that computer or that desktop computer that's in the house somewhere, or we think about something that we see, you know, maybe not even in the house, somewhere else, or that kind of thing. But I want us to broaden that mind out just a little bit and realize just how widespread technology is in the world today. Do you realize that, you know, this is you know, my cell phone right here. I mean, this is a computer, has every capability of a computer. In fact, the statistics are showing that yearly more and more people are dumping their computers and just migrating completely to something like this. Realize that there's all kinds of different types of technology out there. From the innocent e-readers where you're just reading books in electronic format so you don't have the large volume sitting around everywhere, to music players, to tablet computers, smartphones, you name it. There's a lot of different types of technology. And realize the last point here, too, is that if you are a heavy user of technology, you will probably naturally be a little bit biased towards it. And if you are not a user of technology or have never touched it, you might have a little bit of a bias against it. So just recognize that and realize what you're coming into an environment like this kind of with, as far as a background goes. Let me give you a few statistics to kind of just give you a little bit of an idea of the world that we live in today. This isn't necessarily, you know, Fairbury, Illinois or Forest, Illinois, but this is the general world statistics that we have today. And some of these are fairly dramatic when you think about this. One I just came across just recently, 300 new apps are produced today. Now, if you don't know what an app is short for an application. It's what runs programs on this on a phone, on a smartphone. So, for example, I want to check the weather, I go to my weather app. Or I want to check the news, I go to my news app. 300 new ones a day. If I could do math quickly in my head, that's quite a few in a year. The second statistic up there, the average person changes tasks every 3 minutes. The average person changes tasks every 3 minutes. Now, some of you are saying, well, what's that have to do with technology? It's true. That's not just talking about technology. That's just a general type thing. But it's interesting to think about that. On average, we will change tasks and switch from one activity to another every 3 minutes. The ability to stay disciplined and focused on one ongoing task for a long period of time is being lost. Maybe that's too dramatic, but it's being shifted. It's being changed. And you can see it in everything. We always joke about, you know, the fast food nation that we're in. You know, the fact that you go to a fast food restaurant and the fast food restaurant isn't as fast as it needs to be. It's not quick enough. You know, you need to speed up the fast food restaurant. Now you can order ahead on your cell phone, and they can be waiting for you, so you just drive right in. And I told my wife once, and she'll, this is me. I told my wife once, I said, I want to be able to order from Pizza Hut without ever talking to a person. And you can. I mean, you can. You know, that's the introvert in me. She's the extrovert that wants to go out and, you know, talk and so on and so forth. But that's the world that we live in. Very fast paced. Every 3 minutes, we're changing tasks. That might not be bad in itself, but let's apply that, you know, scripturally and spiritually. And we'll talk about this more. I don't want to get too far ahead, but do we lose some of our ability to focus and concentrate and get quiet because we're always instantly switching from one thing to the next? This ties into this next statistic, which is to me, the saddest statistic up here. I read somewhere that 73% of the is a Christian survey. 73% of the Christian surveyed check their social media or their email before they do their daily devotions every day. 73%. And I thought, that's really sad. And then the Spirit prompted me and said, you know what? You do that. If I don't catch myself, I've fallen into that trap before. First thing in the morning is kind of, oh, what's happening? 73%. Before we can get quiet with the Lord, we're getting quiet with our email or getting quiet with our social media or so on and so forth. Just some statistics, just some trends, just some things that are starting to kind of be captured and thought about and looked at. Some other statistics tied more. This is from a 2013 survey, so this is actually a couple years old. It's from the American Association of Pediatrics, a secular organization, did this survey. They found that time spent with media is the leading activity other than sleeping. 8 to 10-year-olds spend 8 hours a day with some type of media. 12 to 14-year-olds or older children will spend over 11 hours a day with some type of media. Young people now spend more time with media than they do at school. TV is still the predominant medium, but it's rapidly changing. This says one-third. I've seen statistics as high as 70% of TV programming or different things that you would see on TV. 70% is viewed on non-TV surfaces, so like a cell phone or a tablet or a computer. 70%. So the rule that, okay, no TV in the house and there's no TV content there, you have to be careful. That's not necessarily true. It's available in many other different types of formats. One-third of children have internet access in their bedroom. Half of the time the teenagers spend is spent on networking, social networking, playing games, or viewing video, not on like homework-type activities. Here's another statistic. 75% of 12 to 17-year-olds own cell phones. 88% of teenagers will use text messaging. Half of teenagers will send over 50 texts a day. One-third of teenagers will send more than 100 texts a day. Now, those are just facts. Those are just statistics. Statistics are neutral. You could have a teenager who is sending 100 encouraging, godly, spiritually edifying texts every day. Or you could have a teenager that's not. But that is the world that we are living in, the trend that we are living in. 20%, this last one is a scary one. 20% of adolescents have either sent or received sexually explicit image on their cell phone. We'll talk later about the good, the bad, and the ugly, or the good, the evil, and the neutral about technology. And definitely some of those points will be brought into that. Before we do that, though, I want to shift gears here, and we're going to talk a little bit about just kind of widening our vision.
The handoff will go more smooth next time. I know how it's operating. Widening our vision. So what are we talking about? Sometimes we kind of have preconceived ideas. Oh, this is going to be about the computer that's in our living room. Going to talk about some filters and some of those things. And that, while that's might be some of what we talk about, we want to widen our vision more to technology. We mentioned the cell phone. It intersects our lives in so many places. In the school setting, I don't know where Prairie Central's at right now, but the school that I just left teaching from, next year they're going to be one-to-one, where every student is going to have a laptop that they're going to take around with them, and that's we're behind the curve, really, in that. All the Bloomington Normal schools are pretty much there already. So it is inundated our lives. I think the statistics have shown that it's a very pertinent conversation to have. And how is we as Christians, how do we navigate this world that we are in? And the scriptures speak to it. And Brother Arlen mentioned that. And aren't we thankful that the scriptures are not archaic? Scriptures have not passed away. They speak to this day and age as much as they ever have. So the technology that we're talking about is more than just the computer in our living room. When we talk about purity, we're expanding the view beyond just sexual purity. I want you to be listening for other areas for which maybe I have not been pure when it comes to technology or other areas to be challenged in. Thinking about protection, not just in boundaries and filters. Listen for some helps beyond do's and don'ts, but on how to discern good from better and neutral from not so good. Those are some of the things that we want to talk about when we talk about protection. See the opportunities and see the decisions that we want to be able to teach. We want to be able to model. We want to be able, husbands and fathers, to lead in this area with our wives and our children to protect and have a home that protects protects them from harm. So Matthew 15 provides a very wonderful teaching, an interesting dialogue Jesus has with his disciples in Matthew 15, and in Mark 7, it's another account that offers a little bit another perspective. But it reads as this: "Do not ye understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out to the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." Now, what is Jesus saying here? He is interacting with the scribes and Pharisees who accused his disciples of a sin that they thought was sin. And Jesus says, what they have done is not sinned at all. And then he explains what sin is and where sin originates. Now, why is this important to technology? Well, if I might draw a picture up here to help illustrate perhaps some of the sentiments of this teaching. If you can picture, I have a bucket or a cup. It might look something like this. And inside this cup might have some contents. So I have some contents in that cup. So here are the contents in the cup. And I might puncture a hole in that cup, and out of that hole would flow the contents in the cup. Contents in the cup would come out of that hole. And so we have a couple of important things here. We have the cup, which I am going to represent as our heart. The contents are what is contained in our heart. The hole here is going to be what I'm going to call technology. And it streams forth the contents of our heart. Now, a hole in this cup would represent anything that reveals the contents of my heart. So technology is one of many holes that let the contents of my heart spew forward. Let me give you a few more examples just to illustrate. Your checkbook is a hole into your heart. I could follow your checkbook around and we would get somewhat of an inkling about what's in your heart. Your free time is a hole whereby the contents of your heart spew forward. If we had your free time written out, we would have a little bit of an inkling about where your heart is. You follow? All of those things simply reveal what's in the heart. And I'm going to suggest to you that technology will be yet another hole whereby whatever is in your heart will come forward. Now, this is good news as well as news that we need to understand and be concerned with. The good news is this: technology is not therefore the sin. Technology is not therefore the sin, like your checkbook is not the sin, and your free time is not the sin. Okay? It is not the sin, and Jesus says we don't sin next to being proximity, or being close to something does not mean that sin is imputed, but it is what we do with it and what comes out of our heart. And so technology can be used, the tools, to expose the heart. And so I'm going to suggest to you that technology is a very accurate tool, thermometer, on where your heart is. I know that's been the case for me. Technology reveals, in fact, I get a sense, even day by day, am I turning away from God or am I turning towards God? How I use my technology time can reveal that, okay? So, if there is a propensity to sin or do wrong or wickedness or evilness in our heart, technology very could easily be the vehicle for that. And if there is a propensity and a desire to love God, technology may be a wonderful vehicle for that. Let's see, there we go. And so the next slide says that. Technology is not the enemy. Technology is everywhere. Certainly we would all agree with that. It's not something that we're going to be necessarily able to escape. Technology offers us easy access to violate God's principles for that same reason. If we have a lust or a desire for darkness, it will certainly be an avenue for that. If we have a desire for the light, it will allow us to walk in the light if that's our heart. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh around seeking whom he may devour. And so this is where we walk circumspectly, because you can believe, you know, that Satan knows our weaknesses, Satan knows our tendencies, Satan knows how that technology could be to hurt God's purposes. And so he is going to be playing on that, okay? And so we understand that going into it. Technology is a wonderful gift and a difficult battleground. So what we want to discern is the right thing to do, what's right and also the wrong way. And so as we think about good or bad or neutral, certainly, we have lots of examples there at the top of school projects where we use technology for school projects, reading an e-book, playing Angry Birds. And at some point in time, right, we have good things, good use, bad use, and sometimes neutral use. Is this use good? Is it edifying? Then we hearken back to that first guiding principle, the scripture that Brother Arlen mentioned. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So technology will press us and require us to step up as believers and be discerning about what we're doing and why we are doing it. Okay? What characteristics define what is good, bad, and neutral? We are going to listen in the next hour, in the next 45 minutes, as we talk about some of these things, engage passive productivity, whether it's wholesome, time, risk, entertainments, and some of those things. All of them needed to be weighed against the scriptures. To discern what is good and bad and neutral, we will need to continue to be learners. Now, there is a website there at the bottom of that. It's somewhat covered up here. It's called commonsensemedia.org. Brother Arlen said, 300 apps, was that per day? 90,000 plus apps, that's a lot of apps being created. This website here, commonsensemedia.org, you could search apps and get a description of what the app is. It will also give some cautionary. It will also rate it, saying this is for such and such an age group. And it is clearly secular, and we're going to be out on the out front with that. It is secular, so what that means is they might not draw the same conclusions about the app than you would as a believer, but they are being truthful about what the app does. And so this is a Common Sense Media is a place where you can get updates and get a sense of what is this app, and is there some danger in this app? And not only apps, but I believe websites and movies and different things that concern media. So we just offer that as a place to be learners. And I think that's sometimes the concern, right? Sometimes the worry is like, oh, I don't even want to learn about it. I don't even want to know. And that's where we walk into some dangerous ground when we provide the service are not under, we don't understand necessarily the power of the computer, and then other people in our homes might use that and abuse that when we have not been educated or not have taken the responsibility to understand the dangers in it and the blessings that it can be used for. And so that is incumbent upon us as believers in this world to be knowledgeable and to be growing and to be learning. That could be a resource for you. So as we discern, how should I be using my technology, we're going to take it into two levels. Well, the first level, is it right or wrong? Is it truth or error? Is it good or bad? Certainly we want to divide that out right at the outset, right? We want to discern that. And two, is it good, beneficial, or edifying? So that would be another level, all right? Okay, so it might not be wrong, but is it good? It might not be wrong, but is it beneficial? It might not be wrong, but is it edifying? And sometimes that's where the finer discernment lies. And so I guarantee you, if you take on the challenge of technology with an open heart to Jesus and to the Lord, He will use technology in your walk with Him to further sanctify you and help you understand, not good, yes, good. Beware of this. Be careful of that. And He uses that, and I certainly can identify with that in my own life. And He will ask us to lay aside some things. He will ask us to lay aside those things, so those weights that easily beset us. And Jesus has that example in Matthew chapter 5 where He says, cut off the right arm, pluck out the right eye, right? And there's times where we need to do that, and we need to impose on our own selves some of those things necessary so that we can walk circumspectly. And that's never comfortable, especially when technology makes things so convenient. So convenient, sometimes it makes it extra difficult to say no to ourselves in areas that we need to say no. This is a wonderful passage in Ephesians chapter 5. As we think about how do we discern this, right and wrong, beneficial and edifying, the answer to that would be allow the light of God's word to shine upon it. And so we read as this, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. So how are these things made manifest? How am I to discern this? How am I supposed to make manifest whether this is a good direction to go or not a good direction to go? The light makes manifest. And who is the light but Jesus Christ and His Word? And as Brother Arlen mentioned at the very beginning, His Word is as applicable to this situation and to the life in 2016 with technology to reveal good and bad and right and wrong and better and worse, as it's been able to be applied throughout the ages. And so we go to the Word and allow the Word to bear itself upon our use of technology. So be listening for that as well. Brother Arlen? Oh, I'm sorry, I guess I had one more. You want to do it? Yeah.
Thanks, Brother Matt. So as we talk through this first level of discernment, it's the easy one, good and bad. And there's definitely many, many good things that happen with technology, and we don't want to deny that, and we don't want to forget that there are many good things and many efficiencies, many different things. You think about a website like CaringBridge, where you can keep in touch with a situation that a family or someone is going through miles away. Or a blog that updates different things, you know, and you know how families are doing, or keep type. My wife is from Leicester, and her mom still lives out there. My 2-year-old boy loves when the Skype little music, and some of you know what I'm talking about, but when the Skype little call comes through, and he can communicate with Grandma Iowa. So much more. than what we used to be able to. He has a relationship with Grandma Iowa that would not be possible except for technology. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a positive thing. We can keep in touch with people around the world. We can keep track. There's different things that my wife and I have experienced were because of the power of social media and being able to get the word out there and the message out there. We could feel the prayers of the brotherhood, and we can feel just the blessing of that communication. There's positiveness when you think about, you know, the efficiency of working together, of keeping track of your calendar and trying to remember, you know, phone numbers, and it's done for you and all that kind of a thing, whereas before you'd have to, you know, scribble down and so on and so forth. There are good things that happen with technology. There's better ways to learn. There's better ways to understand different things. There's positive things that happen. But on the other side, then, you obviously have some very evil things that can happen with technology, and some different things that can greatly throw off and become a stumbling block for us. For example, one of the things that we'll talk about, and we won't spend as much time in this as we do in other presentations because it's not the place possibly, but one of the things that we'll talk about is just the issue of pornography that happens. Some of these statistics, again, you can see those. They're printed there on your sheet. But some of those statistics are very scary statistics. The average age of first exposure is 11 years old, often accidental. But sometimes it can be purposeful. But that's the kind of danger that's out there. The largest consumer of internet pornography is 35 to 49 years old. It's not teenagers. It's 35 to 49-year-old. And it's not just a male problem. There's also there's a growing number of female problems that you can have with that kind of a thing as well. There's a quick chart we'll talk through here real briefly here as we talk about this. When you think about healthy sexual development, this is something that is important to realize because it happens to all of us. When you think about healthy sexual development, this is how God has designed it. This is not on your slides. This is how God has designed it, where it's meant to be, there's a growth process, and it's meant to be contained in a healthy environment, contained around the boundaries of God's Word. Well, what can happen is if there is exposure to something early or earlier than you should have, is that will grow out of control. And that growth out of control will lead towards more and more and more manifestations of problems. So obviously, that's an evil of technology that we want to talk about, we want to recognize, and no one should be blind to realize that that's out there. But also realize there are ways to filter, to monitor, to bring some protection into it. And also realize, too, that it exposes the sin that can already be in the heart, that needs to be worked through and dealt with, as only Christ can do that. Otherwise, realize, too, there are other common dangers, too. There's bullying that takes place through this kind of thing. There's further sexual sin that can happen. There's gambling that can happen. There's hurtful messages. There's things about making private moments too public. An evil thing of technology, making private moments too public, can be. We lose this discernment between what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. What is emotionally appropriate to share and what is not emotionally appropriate to share. It's so easy to share things over technology. A few clicks. It's not nearly as difficult. You know, it's often not face-to-face. It's not the conversation. It's not that kind of thing. And so you lose the sense of what is socially appropriate. You can have an over-focus on self. I really messed it up. You can have an over-focus on self. You can have a inappropriate emotional connections due to social media. You can have poor stewardship of time, of finances, of relationships. All of these different things can become a component, and an evil thing can happen of technology. Now, the other piece, though, that we need to remember and need to realize is that there's a lot of neutral. There's a lot of neutral. Technology is a tool. I often liken it to a car. A car is neutral.
Usually, a car is a very good thing and can serve a lot of very good purposes. But a car can also be a very destructive thing. You put a car in the hands of a drunk driver, it becomes a very destructive type instrument. You put a car in the hands of someone who doesn't know what they're doing, it can be a destructive type instrument. Similar with technology. And so that's where the scriptural principles come to bear, where we have to weigh what is expedient. What is being brought, what am I being brought under the power of anything? Is it edifying or not? And so the second level of discernment, the fine-tooth level of discernment, asks questions like, is this good? Is this beneficial? Is this edifying? There's a principle here, if you look at Philippians 4:8. I like to think about this principle down here. You know, in Philippians 4:8 tells us, you know, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, are pure, are lovely, or of a good report, put on these things. It's a principle we lots of times call the replacement principle. If you look at the scripture, you look at Ephesians 4, you look at Colossians 3, you look at the scripture will talk about how he'll tell us to put off things. Paul, through the epistles, will say, put off this. But with almost every put off in the scripture, there's going to be a put on. Put something good on in its place. So in Ephesians 4, it'll say, put off lying and speak truth with your neighbor. The same thing applies, I think, sometimes when we are using this discernment with technology. We need to think about that replacement type thing. How am I spending my time? Am I spending my time appropriately? Are there things I could actually be taking off that I should actually be and putting on something better? Is there a better thing? Matt talked a little bit earlier about the good versus the better, that fine-tooth discernment that goes on there. It's not that different. We've been dealing with that for years, I think. We as brothers and sisters in the Lord. I mean, you drive down the road. Maybe you have a job where you're driving a lot, or you know, farming during the harvest season. We're in the combine and the tractors a lot. There's a lot of time there. And we turn on the radio maybe, or we listen a little bit to the radio. Not necessarily bad things. It can be very good things, encouraging things they're being listened to. And sometimes maybe it's not as necessary or not as appropriate. Or maybe there's sometimes when God just wants us to be quiet with Him. And we need to pray. And we need to just not change activities every 3 minutes. And just be quiet and disciplined. I seem to have always had a job where I drive a lot. And it's always been a good challenge for me. I never live close to where I work for some reason. But it's always been a good challenge to me to think about how I'm using my car time. Am I putting on the good things and putting off the bad things? For sure. And maybe sometimes the neutral things. That's the type of discernment and discipline we're talking about here now with technology. Sometimes it's good to say no, even when you don't have to. And it's very important to see the small decisions and how they hinder us. Again, I'll use my wife as an example. I appreciate her so much. She has a very strong conviction, you know, rule in our house that she doesn't want technology at the dinner time. Shut it off. And I don't do the best at that at times. And I can justify 7 ways till tomorrow, you know, oh, it's just a quick little thing. Oh, let's check what the weather is going to be, you know, in that, when we're traveling this weekend or so on and so forth. But see, sometimes it's good to say no, even when we don't have to. There's nothing necessarily wrong about checking the weather during dinner time. But it's a good discipline. That immediacy of the cell phone, the immediacy of the cell phone. I love my father dearly. My father will answer his cell phone no matter what time, wherever, whenever, at all times. And I'll call him and I'll just want to check up on something. And he'll be out in the cow lot or something. He'll answer the phone and the wind's blowing. I can't hear a word that he's saying. He can't hear a word that I'm saying, but he answered his phone. You know? And I'll miss that dearly when he goes to glory someday. But
you know, we have this idea that there's an immediacy with this technology being so close to us. And so that, I think, to me, when I think about that, I see that 1 Corinthians 6 principle in it, and it tells me, okay, am I being brought into is this controlling me, or am I controlling it? Is technology controlling me, or am I controlling it? This is that neutral type of discernment. What are you modeling to others? What are you modeling to your children? What are you modeling to other people around you? If the cell phone is all important, that everything stops when the cell phone rings, keep using examples of my family, I apologize. There was one time when I was reading books to my 2-year-old, and I had my phone over here on the side, and it's kind of got this weird case here with this little thing, and my year-and-a-half-year-old went over there, and he flipped it and closed it, because he could tell that I was distracted by the cell phone. What am I modeling to him? It's always convicting to talk about something like this. Thank you for prayerfully keeping me accountable to some of these things. If you don't know how to do something, will you figure it out? Who you turn to for resources? That's one thing I do want to stress, too, that we will talk about, too. None of us will be experts on everything. We have a lot of resources in the back. There's a few different handouts and different things that I'll reference here and there. They're there and they're available, and there's more stuff on our website. But the idea that I think Brother Matt already said is, will we be learning? Will we learn? The last thing here before we move on to a few specific principles, get into this mindset of continued growth. Deuteronomy 6 is a great passage. Deuteronomy 6, if you sum it up, says that we are to teach our kids at all times and in every place. It says, you know, when you get up and when you sit down, when you go out and when you come in, we are to always be teaching and encouraging, and it doesn't stop. Technology is no different. We are to be teaching at all times. Encourage and teach and discuss. That is an ongoing parental responsibility and a parental opportunity. And it will change over time. I use the example of riding a bike. My daughter learned to ride a bike this last year without training wheels. It was appropriate, you know, last year for her to be riding around with training wheels. And now she's learned without, so it's not necessarily appropriate for her to go back to the training wheels. But now we go around the block and we stay pretty close, and she's got a tiny little bike and so on and so forth. It's not going to be appropriate when she's 16 for mom and dad to be walking right alongside as she's riding her bike around the block. There is a growth and a development that takes place, and as we are training and pruning and encouraging and modeling, hopefully that handoff and that growth will continue. To that end, there's a couple of, I'll reference a couple of the resources that we have. There's a document called Technology Principles, and there's another document called Technology Teaching Discussion Aids. Both of those are meant to spur discussion, ask some questions and some different leading type questions that you can do with your kids or with a small group or just how is technology affecting and how is technology influencing. And those are in the back and those are available. With that, we'll talk about some more principles.
Principles. A few principles that we wanted to talk through, and there are many, but we'll devote ourselves to 5 principles here tonight. Principles to think about, questions to ask yourself as you engage in technology. Again, our guiding scriptures that was mentioned there at the outset. The principles are as this. Does my use of technology, does it reinforce Christ's view of me? That's number one. They're actually no in particular order, but 2, does it promote purity? 3, is it good use of my time? 4, am I being Christ-like? 5, am I being socially appropriate? I would suggest that these might be 5 good principles to review your own use of technology in light of these. What do we mean by does it reinforce Christ's view of me? Listen to Colossians 2, verse 10. If you are a believer, if you've repented of your sins and the Holy Spirit is within you, then you are complete in Him. which is the head of all principality and power. You are complete. That means you are. You don't need to prove yourself to anybody. Your approval lies in God's approval of you. So I ask you, are you trying to get approval on Facebook? Does your Instagram picture need to be liked? Are you tempted to embellish this or that so that other people view you differently? Are you questioning your completeness in Christ? Now, this is an important concept to think about. And as we think about approval, discontentment really finds itself saying, I am not content with myself, or I'm not content in my standing, I need something else. We are pushing against Colossians 2:10 and our completeness in Christ. So, again, a filter, a framework to think, is this moving me towards contentment or away from contentment? Am I more grateful or am I less grateful? Am I comparing myself with others? Or is Christ being brought to bear on the standard of who I am? Okay? So, does it reinforce Christ's view of me? Principle number one. Number two, does it promote purity? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And much has been said already in terms of sexual purity and the caution of pornography, but even... is it weakening my resolve to stay pure? Does my technology use weaken my resolve to remain pure, or does it strengthen my resolve to remain pure? Do I want to flirt with darkness, or am I seeking after what God says is good for me to seek after? Okay? You know, if I might illustrate, I feel like technology for me has... help me discern this particular moment I would like to illustrate, and that is this. If God is here and I am Godward right now, I am worshiping, I'm in fellowship with God, and my heart is towards Him, and I might say, let's say this over here might be a sinful spot. Sinful spot is over here, and God is here and I am Godward. I have found that Through technology and the hole that technology provides, I can discern the moment I do this very clearly, okay? Which is a good thing, because it does not mean I have to find myself in this spot for me to realize that over there I turned. Does that make sense? The moment of turning is very vivid. If we allow our hearts to be discerning to it, and because technology in my own heart has elevated that moment, that, I have just turned. How do I know that I've turned? I've just turned from the Father because my completeness is not in Him. I am discontent. Or I want to be approved. Or I am lured towards darkness. Something has got my attention. Okay? So here again is an opportunity for technology, if we are discerning and if we allow the light of God's Word to bear itself down upon it, He will use it to help a thermometer in our heart. It's like that thermometer just sticking out of our heart. How am I doing? It's not a bad thing, is it? Okay. Is it good use of my time? Oh my, is it good use of my time? You know, Arlen shared that story, and I've got kids' stories too. You know, I have fired off texts and emails while I played ping pong. You know, I mean, we do that, don't we? My son's not that good yet, so I can kind of do both, you know. But what message am I sending, right? It's not good use of my time at all. And so as we think about, is it... see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Is it poor use of my time, or is it wise use of my time? And it very well might be wise use of my time. We can get a great deal of stuff done, right? With an email here. We make a contact there. We've got shared folders in Dropbox that makes things really nice and really convenient. And it is a great use of time. We can get a lot done. Is it choking out God, quietness with God? Ooh, this is one that's convicted me as of late. Choking out quietness. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when I'm trying to be quiet with God, I need to move the phone away or go put it in a different room. Quietness with God, as we think, the evil one wants to use that technology to encroach upon our relationship with God. It will be his desire. And so if he could choke out our quietness, and somehow now we are not spending that time, we are restless, we are anxious, we haven't learned the discipline of quietness. You know? Have we lost the discipline of quietness? I find myself checking my phone while I'm up waiting for kids to get their teeth brushed so I can put them to bed. I'm like, oh, I've got this time, right? I've got, you know, they're brushing their teeth. I'm in their room. We're going to have prayers. And I'm surfing on my phone rather than praying for my children, or things could be spent in those moments. Those moments don't need to be filled. Oh, our moments seem to need to be filled now with technology. They are the filler. That's my point. I'm chasing down my point. My point is technology will be the filler of your time. And the filler of our time is priceless time for a believer, because that's often when we hear God speak, and God speaks to us in the way. Don't allow the technology to be with you in the way. Let God be with you in the way. Okay, is it hindering my connection with my family? Oh, I don't know if you've done this before. You've been engaged in technology, and you know that I need to be there. I need to do that. I need to help my wife. I know I should do this. Or let's just do this real quick. Those are things, again, those are thermometer checks for the heart that's like, ooh, that alarm's going off. I can tell right now I'm neglecting my family or my friends, and I'm not making those connections like I should. Am I being Christ-like? Let your conversation, this is the third principle, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Just a real quick reminder. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul confronts Peter. Paul confronts Peter because he did not walk according to the gospel. That's his accusation against him. It's not that Peter didn't understand the gospel. Peter understood the gospel better than most. He was the first teacher of it. It was that his walk and his lifestyle at that moment was not in step with the gospel. Not to get into the details. But the point is, are we in step with gospel living in our technology use? Do I administer love? Do I administer grace? And so this is where we have for children, but I would think bullying goes on at every level, where there is a great deal of problem in the schools with bullying being done back and forth on social media, okay? Are we being Christ-like? Am I administering ridicule, or am I administering comfort, okay? Am I administering falsehoods, or am I administering truth? Social medias and technology is a very easy way to kind of color in, color outside some lines, make things a little bit different, kind of doctor up who I am in cyberspace, rather, who I am in real life. Jesus loves truth. That's what the light is. Am I walking in the light of Christ's truth? Am I being socially appropriate? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. But as wise. So am I being appropriate? Am I exaggerating bliss? Like everything is wonderful and I got it all together. Or am I honestly portraying blessing? Okay, that would be a very good use. Honestly portraying blessing, giving honor to God. Or am I exaggerating hardship? Sometimes we fall into that. We exaggerate things to be worse than they really are. All right. am I honestly portraying hardship? Because we do have hardship, and sometimes that hardship needs to be shared in a venue that the technology offers. Am I being too vulnerable for my audience? You know, I find it interesting. You know, we live in uncharted waters in 2016, okay? For many generations of time, families have had the isolation of their own homes. And I guarantee you, if you came and lived in my home for very long, I might get on your nerves, okay? Now, we can have a nice interaction right here, nice interaction. And we all have nice interactions when we get together, don't we? But can you imagine if we were all living with each other, okay? Then all of a sudden you'd be like, you do that at the table, you allow that to happen, this and that, and you allow the dishes to pile up. I can't believe you live like this. And you have all of these things, right? We get along so well because there's a lot we don't know, right? Well, now we live in a day and an age where there's no end to what we know. You can peer right into my living room. And so we've got a lot of problems with that because we're not designed to live in everyone's living room. So that requires us to be appropriate. It requires us to be discerning. It requires us to be thoughtful about, who is my audience? And is this information supposed to go to a wide range of people? Or is this like family information? Right? Fathers and mothers, we need to help our young people, our children, understand what those boundaries are. Because what might seem benign to them is really not benign. And you understand that. We need to help them understand what is an appropriate text and what is an inappropriate text. What is appropriate interaction? What is inappropriate interaction? Because with that texting environment, we can say all manner of things that we would not say face to face. Okay? So, am I being wise to my audience? Am I being wise with my content in thinking about the future? Do I want this to live on forever? And that's the day and age we live in. With imagery, pictures, young people, you know this. I'm sure you've been told, let you hear it again. Everything you snap, you send, is there forever. Okay? And we need to be aware of that. Okay? And so it causes us pause in the moment. Is this a message that I want out forever? So think about being socially appropriate as the final principle.
So one more section as we finish up here, because now we need to talk about the plan. We've laid out quite a few things, and I appreciate the principles that Brother Matt laid out here. And they're, it can seem like a heavy list. And so the last little bit here, we want to talk just very practically, what are some things that we can do? What is the plan? Where do we go from here? And the one thing I would encourage you, there's a lot of great questions in those principles we just went through, and you have those in front of you, and you have a copy there. I also would encourage you to take those and prayerfully put those, because I doubt that most of you are going to write out all 20 or 25 questions, you know, and then have a checklist before you do something with your technology. But what you can do is prayerfully take those and let God boil those down to your own personal kind of checklist. Is this pure? Is this socially appropriate? Is this a good use of my time? Is this bringing glory to God? You know, so on and so forth. Make it yours. Make it practical. Make it between you and God. Remember, I talked at the beginning about this is about you. This is about where you're at, whether you're in high school, whether you're not even in high school yet, whether you're out of high school, whether you've never had a technology in your house hardly at all. How can we use what we are learning here to bring glory to God? Because the other danger is that, you know, technology changes very, very rapidly. And I listed a few things here, and I don't think this is even on your handout here. But you've got the social media apps of the Facebook and the Instagram and the Twitter, and some of those will be gone in 2 years and on to something else. And you've got some dangerous apps like Snapchat, and there's new ones out there where a camera can be running on a phone with it, and it doesn't look like a camera app, you know, and it looks like it's hidden, so kids can record things when no one thinks that they're recording anything, and so on. There's a lot of stuff out there. 300 new apps a day. And they're not usually made for good purposes, or a lot of them aren't made for good purposes. And it changes rapidly. It's that learner-type mentality that we have to have as we talk through that. But before that, you have to purpose for some principles here. We are called to protect our families. We're called to stand up and lead our families. And so know what your goal is with technology with your family. What are the principles that you are seeking to teach? Repeat them over and over with your kids. Be a teacher. And the best teacher is a good learner. Be a teacher who learns and where they need to learn. Engage your children and keep that discussion going. And then by all means, establish the appropriate boundaries. Do not just hope for the best. Establish the appropriate boundaries. And the final one there, which is kind of off the bottom there, reach out for supports for those who can help. Often you'll see that there are those in this congregation that know technology well, and they'd be glad to help and to be encouraged. We have some resources on our website, but it's not exhaustive by any means. But the key is to reach out and know where you can find help. In the back, there's a document called the Family Technology Plan, and it goes through a lot of these principles and actually helps you set up what we would call a technology plan for your family, where you would say, this is how our family is going to run technology. These are the rules. I'll go through some examples in a second. But that document's out there, and every family will be a little bit different because every family's makeup is a little bit different. You have different age kids. You have different maturity levels of kids. You have different weaknesses or different areas where those propensity towards exposure of the contents of your heart are a little bit different. Some of us cannot control our temper. Some of us cannot control our tongue. Some of us cannot control our eyes. Know the weaknesses and build that plan to be a safeguard around that. One quick note too. Often the society today will rate things, and they will say, "Well, this is for the age this so and so, and this is for age so and so." So if you're at age 14, it's appropriate if you have that. Realize that that's a secular society rating these things, and they're going to be the bare minimum age. There is a Christian website put on by Focus on the Family called PluggedIn.com. It does not do apps. We wish it did a little bit more on the technology side, but it does do reviews of media, music, movies, different things that you might see out there and about. And it will give you, from a Christian perspective, warnings and cautions and what's out there. So that's another resource we want to point you to. And the other thing in the final sheet that's in the back there is a document that has a lot of this on it. These are filtering and monitoring software. You put a filter on your computer and it'll block certain sites from opening up. There's a difference between what we would call accidental exposure to something and incidental exposure to something. Accidental is exactly like it sounds. It's accidental. You were surfing and something popped up. It wasn't intended at all. Incidental, on the other hand, is not that. Incidental is when you are seeking something out. Filters help at both levels by putting kind of a block on. You can set almost all these different filters here. You can set the level of filtering that you would like to see within your computer. And it will help, especially on the accidental side, it'll help keep things from accidentally popping up that you're not expecting. You can do the same thing for your iPhone and Androids too. They're built in there. If you go to your, there's restrictions that you can set up on this. And if you don't know how to do it, you can go into a phone company and they'll help you do it. Or you can ask others too. But there are ways to put filters and blocks upon unfiltered computers, whether it's at your house, whether it's at the workplace, whether it's at the grandparents' house, can be asking for trouble. So we encourage you to just some basic safeguards and barriers. Here's a few other ideas. These are ideas. This is not rules. These are just some ideas of some different examples of what could be some boundaries for different age groups. Let's say children age 3 to 8, young kids. A family technology plan would start establishing some different rules for your children. Rules like this: only 1 hour of screen time a day at maximum. And there's a difference, too, realize, between passive screen time and active screen time. Skype, where you're talking and interacting with someone, is active screen time. Passive screen time is when you're just watching something, zoning out. It can be good. It can be a good, you know, nothing inappropriate about the cartoon or whatever it is, but it's just passive. Studies have shown that passive screen time kind of just hijacks development, just stops development. Active screen time does not do that. You are still actually interacting just normally like you would be face-to-face. It's fascinating that there's a difference, but there's a huge difference between those two different things. So establish your boundaries for your kids, young kids. Maybe no screen time for a period of time, but at least have some type of limit there. No screen time when friends are present. You see the principle there? When friends are present, you're interacting with your friends. You're not just watching a screen. We want to teach that we are going to interact with our friends. Set limits on the amount of, you know, that kind of thing. The trend here then, you know, there's several other slides here, but the trend would be, okay, so now we go to middle school age. You're going to see those, as teaching and discussion goes on, you're going to see those boundaries widen just a little bit. So now maybe it's not, you know, 1 hour limit a day, but maybe we shut them off at 8 o'clock at night. Because it's bedtime, or it's getting close to bedtime. Maybe no screen time at all on Sundays, because that's the Lord's day. Shut it off. Maybe no screen time until your homework is done, or you're ready for school today, or so on and so forth. If you have social media accounts, when you start getting into like middle school or high school, you parents have to be friends with you. These are rules that you establish as the leaders of your family. And you talk through and you work through. And then there's a point here that I will emphasize, that we try to emphasize as well, is there should be an ongoing evaluation process. Because sometimes we like to think, oh man, that was painful, it's done. And it's going to be set for the next 5 years. That's good. It's done. Unfortunately, that's not usually how things work. There's an ongoing process of discussion and growth and learning there. And then high school, there's another example in high school. You can see, if you would look at this and compare this, you've started to broaden out the boundaries, because it's like that bike riding example. The training wheels are off now. First they're riding around the block with us beside them, and now they're starting to ride around the block, you know, maybe on their own, but they have to be back at a certain time, or so on and so forth. You're broadening that out as you teach and discuss and learn. Some final points as we wrap up here. 2/3 of children and teens report their parents have absolutely no rules concerning technology. 2/3. There's a noticeable drop in social skills. It's funny because now they're starting to say, it's not funny, it's actually sad, but they're starting to talk about how social media is making us unsocial as a society. Social media is leading to increased feelings of loneliness. Social media is leading to people not being able to interact with each other. Parents, you need to understand your children engage to rules and boundaries based on their age and maturity. And parents, you need to set and communicate these guidelines. It's your right and your responsibility. Talk about the difference between accidental exposure and intentional exposure. Talk about the difference between voluntary confession and being caught. Be friends with your kids if they have in social media type things, and be aware of what's going on. Use the parental controls, like I said, that are built in to your phones and into your devices automatically. Grandparents, be aware. If you have technology in your home, have a filter on it. Have a guard on it. Because your grandkids know what's going on there. Parents, realize too that it is a lot of what is going on in school. Whether if you're in the public school or in a private school or something, technology is there. It's how we are learning. It's not what we are learning, but it's how we are learning. And that's not going to change. That's not going to go away. Technology will be ingrained in society in some way, shape, or form, further and further and further in the future. So it's an opportunity for us. Final take-home point for kids to realize this. As Matt said before, everything you post online is forever, period. Everything that goes out there into cyberspace, as they say, is forever. So think, there was an old, I always like to, Abraham Lincoln used to get a lot of letters. And I read one of his biographies. He used to get, you know, he would respond to those letters as much as he could by handwritten letters. And sometimes he'd get some that weren't very nice. He was a president during a pretty tough time. And he would have a practice that before he would ever, if he was going to send something back that was a little bit disagreeable, a little bit strong, he would take that letter and he'd put it in his drawer and he'd wait 24 hours before he'd send it, kind of sleep on it. It's a good practice. It's a good discipline. What we do now, though, is you can send off that text before you thought about it and regret it afterwards. Your parents do have the right and the responsibility to limit your technology and to be aware of what is going on and respect that. Respect that. Last point as we kind of wrap up here. I want to encourage you to, as we talked about a lot of things tonight, I want to encourage you to remember what the goal is. There's a very short little verse that's a very good little verse in 1 Corinthians 10. Paul says very clearly, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And he says a little bit earlier, or a little bit later in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, and that we may grow up into him, into Christ, in all things, which is the head. That we may grow up into him. And so when we talk about this specific area of technology, I want to widen it out and close with the broader idea that technology, just like several other things, are holes that can expose the contents of our heart. And our desire and our opportunity is to, number one, glorify God in all that we do. And number two, grow up into him in all things that we can represent, that we can share, that we can be an example of Christ to all those we come in contact with. Our prayer and our hope is that that can be the opportunity, and that that can be what you all are able to do by his grace. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. Brother Matt's going to close with a prayer.